This new high priest with his better sacrifice and better covenant, what do those mean to me? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. In Hebrews 10, we get a glimpse of just how good the good news is. The author unwraps some magnificent presents that have been given to us. Jim's new sermon is called Where Forgiveness Rules, and it begins our new series of talks in the book of Hebrews right where we left off. Over the next few broadcasts, we'll learn of three heavenly gifts to us and some responsibilities that come with them.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to be the Lamb of God, who in His sacrifice would bear away the sin of the world. And because of your perfection, because of your deity, you could at one time, in one place, with one sacrifice, care for the sins of all in the whole world. And you did. Spirit of God, thank you for your part in all of that. Thank you for being here among us tonight. Thank you for calling us to confess our sins and to acknowledge our sin and to trust the one who is the truth and to receive by faith, through grace, this incredible gift of full pardon, full forgiveness of sin. Bless us as we open your word and as we see what you desire from those of us who have been saved by grace. So tonight, Father, we do not come to parade our perfection before each other or to in any way parade our perfection before you. We do come to praise you for the infinite grace, the infinite love, the infinite forgiveness that's ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Several have asked about what's going on in Israel. Just one or two comments tonight. I love the cartoon I saw recently in one of the papers, and I don't forget which magazine it was. It was the picture of an imposed hand out of the clouds coming down like this. And it was a huge hand. And beneath it, the author had put Israel's true Iron Dome. And above it on the sleeve was the Eternal God. I'm here to tell you tonight, folks, that Israel's going to make it. Matter of fact, according to the prophetic scriptures, she's in and she's not going to get driven out of the land despite all the anti-Semitism, despite all those things that are going on in the world in which sometimes we as a nation are painfully participating. She's not going to leave. And God's going to keep her there. That's exactly what he said to the prophets. And those who have difficulty understanding why and how she got there have even more difficulty understanding why she's going to stay. Matter of fact, until the Antichrist himself rises and breaks the treaty that will soon be signed, until he does that 42 months into the tribulation period, Israel's going to do just fine. She has the guarantee of God written in the blood of her Messiah that God always keeps his promises. Take it to the bank. Take it to the bank. Turn, please, in your Bible to Hebrews. Hebrews, please, chapter 10. I've been floating through the book of Hebrews this year. This is an incredible book. It's been a bit of an enigma to me personally. I've translated it from Greek, and I've preached through it and taught through it and all this. But this trip through has been exceptional, as God has chosen to bring to illumination or to bring into full focus the things that the book of Hebrews says that were clouded or were less clear to me. We're coming tonight to chapter 10, please. And notice with me, please, Verse 11. Here we go. In contrast to the Old Testament sacrificial system, the author writes, "Now every priest stands day after day, ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sin." You want to ponder that. Never can those sacrifices take away sin. Never. Not able to do that. But this man, talking about Jesus, but this man, after offering one sacrifice for sins forever. And what was that offering? Himself. Himself. His blood. His life. That's what he offered. That's what Calvary was all about. God the Son, having become flesh, offered himself a sinless, pure sacrifice for the sins of all men who were sinners and could not help themselves. That's what it's talking about. But this man, Jesus, after offering one, not many, but one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. That's talking about heaven. That's talking about after Jesus was raised from the dead and went back to heaven, he sat down. Look at verse 13. He is now waiting until his enemies are made his footstool. That's a reference to what the Father said when the Son presented himself in his resurrected human body in the throne room of God. Having died upon the cross, the Father said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." And that's what makes the book of Hebrews the most eschatological book in the Bible. Every page, every chapter of Hebrews anticipates the fulfillment of all Jesus died to provide. All that he died to purchase, all that he is giving to those who come by faith through him and receive the forgiveness, not only of their sins, but receive the inheritance that is his, for we are going to rule and reign with him. So Jesus right now is in the presence of the Father. He's sitting there. He's waiting. He's anticipating. Until his enemies are made his footstool. That's the Father's job. Father's going to take care of that. Incredible passage. Notice, by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are sanctified. Boy, ponder that. By his one offer, by his one sacrifice, by his one death, he has perfected forever. Nothing can be added to the benefits. Nothing is necessary to finish the task of my salvation. That is in the past tense. He has perfected. It's a perfection which has already been achieved, which is given to me as a legal possession. Not based upon me and my good works. Not based upon me and my perfection. Not based upon me and my attainment. It's based completely, solely, absolutely, completely upon who Jesus is, upon the death that he died, upon the provision of that death as accepted by the Father. Look at the verse again. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are sanctified. You're saying, aha, but are you sanctified? Yes, I am. I am declared holy. Throughout the New Testament, believers are commonly called saints. That means sanctified ones. And believers who are actually misbehaving are called saints. How can that be, you say? It can be only because salvation, God doesn't leave salvation up to my faulty, frail efforts. He centers the work of salvation in His Son, and through His Son, He provides a perfect redemption, and that perfect redemption secures to all who trust Him eternal perfection. Eternal perfection. There's nothing I can do to add to my salvation. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I stand before you tonight, a sinner, what? Saved by grace. But I am saved tonight. I am saved. I can look into the future calendar, whether God gives me 1 minute, 1 month, 1 year, or 100 years. Doesn't matter. I know where I'm going. And I know it not because I'm perfect, not because I've earned it, not because I deserve it. I know it because it's provided for me by the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now it gets better. Look at this. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. That is, God, the Holy Spirit, gives His testimony in Scripture that this is so. Where does He do it, you ask? Well, it's quoted right here. It's a quotation from Jeremiah. We've already seen the whole quotation. It was given to us earlier in the book. But this part, verse 16, this is a quote from the Old Testament Scripture. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts. I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will never again remember their sins and their lawless acts. You get it? First, it's stated positively in the one death that Jesus died, sufficiency is provided for my full, complete perfection and sanctification as the finished work of God. Now it's stated negatively. That is, since His finished work fulfills the terms of the new covenant which He promised, the new covenant based upon the finished work of the Lamb, since the salvation that I experience is based upon that, then God Himself says that through that new covenant, He will write His laws upon my mind, upon my heart. That is, my conversion will be internal transformation, not external legal obedience. What a difference. So the law of God, the will of God, the desire of God is now written in my heart by whom? By the Holy Spirit Himself. And when God finished outlining the terms of the new covenant, He concluded it by saying, to those in whom I write my law, to those in whose hearts and minds I write my will, to those people, I will never again remember their sins and their lawless deeds. Now here comes the climax. Now, where there is forgiveness of these what? Well, these sins and these lawless deeds that I have done and do. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Period. One sin forever settled. And since through that one offering for sin, God totally, completely satisfied His holy righteous law, satisfied His will and His perfection, satisfied His justice awakened and released his mercy to those who would simply believe. Since that's true, don't need another offering. So Jesus doesn't have to die again. Neither do I have to die. I love it when you're thinking that way. I can smell the wood burning. I can tell you're thinking, you're not sure about that. Well, be sure, because you're debating, not Jim Custer, you're debating the Holy Spirit himself, who's the ultimate offer of not only that passage in Jeremiah, but its inclusion here in this passage. Now, friends, that's what we mean when we say we believe in the security of the believer. The believer is secure because he believes. Believes what? What God has done. Because he receives what? The one who is the Savior. Sometimes we make salvation, and we even illustrate it this way, as a separate package. Salvation doesn't exist outside the Savior. But when you receive the Savior as your Savior, you get all the benefits of the salvation he provided, and part of those benefits is the entrance of the Holy Spirit of God himself living in your life and my life, teaching us his will, guiding us, and enabling us to follow and obey what gives God pleasure. That's an amazing passage. Now we're to the heart of our text. I'm going to read the whole part, and we'll discuss it. Verse 19, look, therefore, since this is true, therefore, based upon this conclusion, therefore, based upon this argument, therefore, based upon what God has done, therefore, based upon that, therefore, brothers, that is those who have made commitment to Jesus Christ through faith, therefore, brothers, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he has inaugurated for us through the curtain that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, there are two or three incredible gifts. These are immediate gifts that come with the salvation experience. The first one is, we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus. What's that mean? That means nothing can separate me from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Nothing. Where the Old Testament high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was celebrated, the Ark of the Covenant, where he can only do that once a year and he had to take two sacrifices with him, where that's all he could do, and where none of the other priests and none of the people could ever enter into the Holy of Holies, where God manifests his presence, I, Jim Custer, a sinner saved by grace, have immediately full access to the throne of God in heaven. On what basis? The blood of Jesus Christ. His blood is my argument. His blood is my ticket. Years ago, I was down in Lazarus waiting for Mr. Wren. How many remember Bob Wren? Remember Bob Wren? I was waiting on Mr. Wren, and I was walking around the men's store looking at some ties and things like that. He was busy with business. And somebody came over to help me. And I asked questions about this and this and this. And when it became obvious that I was a hick from the sticks, didn't know nothing about fashion and all that, I was kind of getting the poo-poo. You know what that is? You know, that's West Virginia for being put down. I was getting poo-pooed. And this dear person didn't see or hear Mr. Wren, who's vice president of the Lazarus Corporation. He's as close to the top as you can get without nosebleed. Mr. Wren had walked around and was coming behind this attendant. And he said, "Why, Jim, good to see you." And the attendant turned around, looked, and went absolute gray. Absolutely blanched gray as it became clear to him that this hick had a friend. And the friend owned the shop. That's what happens in heaven. When the devil points out and says, "That Jim Custer has no right to be here," Jesus just clears his throat, and suddenly Satan makes the connection. Wait a minute. You're related? Yep, he's my brother. "Oh, Mr. Custer, it's nice to see you today," is the devil's response. And don't laugh that off. Some of us here have difficulty with boldness, with confidence, entering the very presence of a thrice holy God. We are so aware of our own frailties. We're so aware of our inconsistencies. We're so aware of our imperfections. And we forget that our access there is based upon relationship. We belong to the one who's sitting right there at the right side of the Father. We are purchased through the blood that's memorialized in the scars in his hand and the wound in his side. You're always welcome here, Jesus is saying. Come boldly. Don't sneak in the side door, and don't let the devil beat you to a pulp and convince you that you got no right to be there. You've got every right in the universe to be there. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, go boldly on the basis of the blood, on the basis of the life, on the basis of what Jesus did for you and what the Spirit of God did to you and what the Father has extended and made you heir of.
We said that perfecting the worshiper was one goal of worship, and that the Old Covenant sacrifices couldn't get us to that goal. Now the author of Hebrews asserts that by one offering, Jesus has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And that should give us boldness. Jim will reveal the other two gifts nestled in this passage tomorrow. The sermon is called Where Forgiveness Rules. We'll send the talk to you on CD for a gift of $7 or more. We've moved into the series God's Ultimatum, Volume 2. There'll be 20 messages in this set, yours together on CD for an offering of $69 or more. Solomon said, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." If the Lord has used Pastor Jim to bring you some words that you treasure, please help us continue to minister to others. Consider a donation and lifting up Right Start in prayer. And thank you for giving that some thought. Please mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio 43085, USA. Or call us at 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And connect with us on the web at rightstartradio.org. We've stored some great content for you there. You can play radio programs or play or download Jim's original sermons in their entirety. And you can get the show on your mobile device automatically by subscribing to the Right Start podcast. You'll find a link for that. You can make a secure donation online, too. Just go to rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Does our ticket to heaven have an expiration date? No chance. That's gift number two. Please join us again tomorrow for Tuesday's Right Start.